Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to the best of Mornings on the Mall.
He is the great one. He is our colleague. We are so proud to share the same station with Mark Levin, who, of course, is on every night here, every weeknight at least, 6 to 9 on WMAL. And he joins us now because, a week from tomorrow, Saturday, October 1st, we'll all be live together at the Birchmere for our second WMAL Free Speech Forum. And we want to talk about that and a lot of other things. Hey, Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Larry. Are you two actually beside each other?
We are. We are beside, literally, shoulder to shoulder.
We're not shoulder to shoulder. There's a good 5 feet between us.
Yes, very good.
All right. We have our own personal safe space going on here, Mark.
Don't we all?
Hey, Mark, I remember the night that it was rumored that Donald Trump might choose Indiana Governor Mike Pence as his running mate. I remember listening to you that night, and you were cautiously optimistic by that idea. You thought it was a home run choice. And, of course, we know that he did pick him, and you had him on last night. A great kid. You don't have a lot of guests, but you had Mike Pence. What was your impression, and how do you think Mike Pence has contributed to the turnaround for Donald Trump that we've seen in the last month?
You know, the funny thing is they always phrase it as I asked these guys to come up. They've been asking to come on my show for 3 or 4 weeks.
I'm sure.
And I basically said, I mean, to do what exactly? So he came on. I thought he was very good. I asked him, how do you reassure movement conservatives, Reagan conservatives, Tea Party activists? How do you reassure, you know, Cruz and other conservative supporters? And we went down the list of issues. And look, he's Trump's running mate. Trump's going to be his own man. But I think he's having some influence. I could be dead wrong. I even asked him, do you guys consult with each other? You know, one of the raps on Trump was that he doesn't listen to anybody. He says, we talk at least once a day, sometimes twice. We go over our schedules, and we do discuss these issues at some length. So
if Donald Trump were suffering from pneumonia, Mike Pence would probably
know about it, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he'd know about it. Or a neurological problem, for that matter. But yes, so he was pretty good. But the thing is, he doesn't reassure me on these issues. Quite frankly, I have no illusions here. Donald Trump is a liberal with some conservative positions. And in my view, he's unreliable on those conservative positions. That said, Hillary Clinton is an Alinsky ideologue, and she's reliably Alinsky ideologue. You know what she did yesterday? Hmm. People aren't even paying attention. She just upped the death tax from 55 to 65%.
All right.
I want people to think about that. If you own a farm, you own a small business, you've worked your whole life, you're paying taxes, state taxes, federal taxes, local taxes, and you manage to make a profit, and you want to turn the business over to your kids when you pass away, she wants to take 65% of it, a big chunk, depending on what the value of the property is. And so in the end, if you've actually made something of yourself, you have to sell all that and give it to people who sit on their ass and redistribute wealth and fund massive government waste and all the rest of it. You lose everything you've worked for to pass on to your kids and grandkids. These are the sort of things that do make a difference to me. So, while Trump may not be reliable on the tax proposals, he's proposed a pretty good tax proposal. Mm-hmm. She has proposed a lousy tax proposal, and she will get it, and she will push it.
You know, you're right, especially the part about the family farms. They really do take a hit when it comes to the death tax and estate taxes. Look, I want to talk about the upcoming debate. Because we're seeing that game that happens in Washington where everybody, well, you know, Hillary is very good at this. And, you know, everybody's lowering their expectations. How crucial is this debate going to be? Some people believe it may have more people watching debates than any time in the history of debates.
Because it's going to be damn entertaining, I'll be honest with you. Yeah. At least people think it will. People are fed up. I have to be honest. This these players, even though there's a minority number of them, these players who are sitting out the national anthem and disgracing themselves and trying to disgrace the country, although they're not, people are turned off. So you have Monday Night Football, and I don't think a lot of people are going to watch it. The ratings are way down. On the other hand, there's a curiosity factor. There's an entertainment factor. There's a substance factor with this debate. I think it will be massive. There's three of them. I think these debates are very, very important, but even if you trip on the first one, probably the last one is the most important.
Mm-hmm.
It was for Reagan when he had two with Mondale, and it was for Romney when he did great on the first one and blew it on the last one.
Mark, I would love to ask you to talk about another thing that nobody's talking about, and that is President Obama's continuing problems with our relationship with Israel. And it's something that I wish the Republican candidate would talk more about. I think that the American people are instinctively on Israel's side, and we recognize them to be the last bastion of freedom and democracy in that cesspool in the Middle East. And I know you've been focusing on it quite a bit. What is the president doing right now, and what should Israel do?
Well, what Israel should do is play out the clock, because everything Obama touches turns to you-know-what, particularly in the Middle East. Look at it. It's a complete and utter fireball. It is a disaster. Israel's increasingly surrounded, and it's obvious what Israel's doing. It's making closer relationships with India. It's actually making some closer relationships with Russia, with Egypt, with Saudi Arabia, with Jordan, a lot of these Arab Gulf states. Their real enemy is ISIS and Iran. And so I think when Netanyahu spoke at the UN yesterday, which was an incredible speech, he just bashed them.
Yeah.
He attacked them. He called them a farce, and which is exactly what they are. And I was listening to him, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if America had a president like this who actually loves liberty and loves his country? As for Obama, look, I don't mean to be provocative. I've said this for years. I, in my heart, actually believe he's anti-Semitic. I really do. The way he's treated Netanyahu, the way he talks about Israel, the way he withheld arms when they were under attack from Hamas. I mean, who does these sort of things? And it's even worse. People on the Hill tell me that he does things to that little country and forces them into bills and so forth, and forces them into agreements that he wouldn't do to any country. On the other hand, I'll branch out to the genocidal murderers who run Cuba.
Yeah.
$150 billion and God knows what else to Iran. There's something that's not right here. Maybe a screw loose, but whatever it is, it is.
All right. Well, we are really looking forward to sharing the stage with you on October 1st, Saturday, October 1st, over at the Birchmere for the Freedom Forum. Thanks for joining us again. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting.
You decided what you're going to wear, Mark? We should really coordinate our outfits.
Yes, I have. I'll wear a baseball cap for sure.
Are you going to? I might do the same. I think we should look like the Beatles at Shea Stadium in that final concert. I think that would be a good thing.
Probably not.
No, not going to happen.
Never mind.
I am the Ringo of the group. You know?
Oh, you
yes,
are?
You are.
Yeah. Thanks.
Well, then I would be the cute Beatle.
Which one was that, by the way?
That was McCartney.
You keep telling yourself that. Yeah.
Listen, Mark, we'll see you then, and it's good to have you this morning.
Good
Thanks
talking to you, sir.
God bless. Thanks, guys.
You're listening to the best of Mornings on the Mall. You're listening to the best of Mornings on the Mall.
So let's turn to our friend Tucker Carlson. He is the editor-in-chief of the Daily Caller, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend.
Hey, Tucker, good morning to you. How are you?
Oh, good morning, gentlemen.
All right, so if I were to sum up where we are in the campaign right now, polls tend to show some momentum on Trump's part. The polls seem to be tightening, and some polls even have him ahead. And on the other side of the equation, we have somebody who's disappeared from the campaign, canceled a fundraiser yesterday, and apparently will only be seen once between now and the upcoming debate. What's going on?
Trump is winning. That's what's going on. And the obvious caveat is Trump could set himself on fire tomorrow. I mean, and is fully capable of doing that and could change the direction of the race. But as of right now, as you said, I mean, look at the 10 or 11 swing states. Where's the momentum? In almost every one, it's on Trump's side, which is, I mean, it's unbelievable. And it's yet another reminder. Well, this is a guy who was selling vodka and foreign-made neckties a year ago, and now he's beating the best finance presidential campaign ever mounted by anybody, run by the most famous woman in the world. Also, by the way, the most admired woman in the world. And he's going to beat her, all things being equal. And it just shows you if you run on something, it helps. It's better than running on nothing, which is what she's been doing for the last year.
It is remarkable when you consider, and I just saw this statistic, I can't remember the exact number, but I mean the vast majority of the money, and she's raised a lot of money, but the vast majority of the money she's been raised has been plunged into ads that are being run in the swing states, and she's losing ground.
Well, because what could you learn about Donald Trump that would change your mind about him? I mean, if he was caught having breakfast with Satan at the Four Seasons this morning, would you really say, oh, that's it, I'm not voting for him? I mean, people are not voting for Trump because they believe he's a good person. They don't believe he's a good person. They're voting for him for two reasons. They agree on the issues, and he's not the one who screwed up America. I mean, just to remind you, Trump is not the one who invaded Iraq or bailed out the banks with taxpayer money or tanked the housing market or killed Gaddafi or imported tens of thousands of crazy people into Minnesota. I mean, he just didn't, you know what I mean? Like, whatever his faults, however unattractive his personal life might be, he doesn't have a decades-long track record of failure that hurt America, and his opponent does, and so does the entire ruling class in D.C. So it's really a question of compared to what.
And speaking of that ruling class in D.C., Tucker, here we are 48 days out from Election Day, and I got to ask, where has the Never Trump crowd gone?
Well, I mean, they've gone to Hillary, and some of them are, you know, flat out working for Hillary, obviously. So, you know, people you know in D.C.
Yeah.
But
in May, we were...
Most of them sort of, like, look...
We were told in May that they were going to loom so large and splinter the party, and Trump didn't stand a chance, and this was the destruction of the Republican Party.
What's so interesting, and in the many books that are written on this, I hope someone makes this point, they never, for people who were in charge of a political party, they had a tiny constituency. That's the amazing thing. Political parties are supposed to represent the views of their voters. That's the only reason we have them. And yet the people who ran the Republican Party turned out to have no real voters. They were talking entirely to each other. Now, I agree with some of the things that they believe in. I'm not, and I know them all, and they're all, you know, nice people, and I'm nothing personal or anything like that. But just as a philosophical matter, you can't run a political party unless you understand what your actual voters think. It's a democracy.
Yeah.
So, like, when Bob Kagan wakes up one morning and is like, wait a second, you know, Trump is terrible, I'm supporting Hillary, it's like, yeah, because maybe you agreed with her all along, actually.
You know, the Gallup organization, they do some very interesting polling from time to time. And one of the things that they've done is that they've taken a core of people who are going to support Hillary and a core of people who are going to support Trump, and they ask them some interesting questions. And then they take their responses and they try to determine what are the words that are most often used by the public to describe the candidates. And it's fascinating when you look at the responses. In Trump's case, speech was the number one word. I don't know why. But president, well, he wants to be president, so to have that be one of the things that pops up, not a bad thing. Immigration, of course, that's his key issue. And Mexico, that's one of the things you might expect would pop up. Here's what came up for Hillary. Email, which, of course, is the big scandal. The word scandal itself comes up. The word lie, and then pneumonia. If I look at those things, and I'm pretty troubled if I'm Hillary Clinton, and those are the words being used most often to describe me. Email, lie, scandal, pneumonia.
Yeah, but see, they didn't think it was a problem because they didn't think they were going to have to run on Hillary Clinton. They were running purely on Trump. They thought this whole election was going to be a referendum on Trump's character. And by the way, if the election turns out to be that, she will win. Mm. But in the end, issues kind of arose, and voters said, well, wait a second, you know, yeah, he's a bad guy and everything, but what about my concerns? You're still not addressing them.
Yeah. Tucker, speaking of issues that have arisen, you were in New York covering Fox and Friends weekends, which you do such a great job on. It's so good to have you on that curvy couch. But this weekend you had to cover the bombing in New York City Sunday morning. Tell me about what that was like to cover it, and also how you think this issue, terrorism, is going to affect this campaign. Because smart money in town thinks, oh, well, terrorism, that means Hillary, with her experience, she's going to be the choice.
Yeah, I mean, for my part, we were on early. I was walking back from dinner the night before on Sixth Avenue when the bomb went off. It was not clear what was going on. Obviously, something was going on, and it was not clear throughout our show really what was happening. What was clear, though, is that the only people who had any real information, were lying, because they always do. So they downplay this or that threat because they don't want to, you know, they don't trust you with the information because they think that you're hysterical and stupid. And so they use these euphemisms, and the net effect is to make you more anxious because you know that they're not giving you the straight story. And so Mayor de Blasio, and it wasn't just de Blasio, It was Hillary Clinton, by the way, who once worked with de Blasio.
Yeah.
All telling you, you've got nothing to worry about. It's not a big deal. And again, people sort of know. They may not know what the actual facts are, but they can tell when you're lying to them. And our leaders always lie to us about this stuff. And so that was the first thing I noticed. And the second thing I noticed was that when Trump stood up, I was like, well, wait a second. You know, we've got all this terror in a place that had no terror 20 years ago. Maybe our immigration policy has something to do with it. Everyone jumps up on the left to say, well, you have no right to say that. And it raises the philosophical question, do you have a right to weigh in on who lives in your neighborhood? Do you have any control over your own life at all? It is supposed to be a democracy, right? So, they move people in your neighborhood and you have no say in it? Why is that okay?
All right, so we learned yesterday that Ivanka Trump is getting Secret Service coverage. And that means she now has a Secret Service code name, which we've learned is Marvel. And then we learned by looking that we now know all of the Secret Service code names. Trump is Mogul and Hillary is Evergreen. And so we were asking earlier, don't we need a new Secret Service code name for these two? Because after all, it's supposed to be a secret Service code name, isn't it? But everybody knows it. So if you had to rename and give them new Secret Service code names, Hillary and for Trump, what would they be?
I guess Trump's would be Florid.
Florid.
And he'll Florid. He's just Florid. He's just like a.
I have never heard a human being, let alone a man, described as Florid.
He's so Florid. And I would say of Hillary, just grim.
Grim.
Just grim. Just like, just do it. You know what I mean? Just gut it out.
Tucker, your Secret Service code name is Cha Cha Cha.
Yeah, there you go.
Because of your ill-fated performance on Dancing with the Stars, where unlike Rick Perry, you were eliminated. Right? Did you see Rick Perry celebrating last night when he made the cut?
I've never watched the show before or since, but I knew he was. The guy's an athlete, and he's a charming guy.
Yeah, but he had the lowest scores. But you should have seen his jubilant reaction when he made the cut last night. It is pure.
You would have thought he won the nomination or something.
Yeah, really, exactly. Yeah.
He's a happy man.
All right, Tucker,
win this year. Let's face it.
Yeah, all right, Tucker. Thank you so much. It's good to have you on the show.
You're listening to the best of Mornings on the Mall, 5 to 9, Monday through Friday, only on 105.9 FM WMAL. Now, more of the best of Mornings on the Mall.
Diamond and Silk, also known as Lynette Hardaway and Rochelle Richardson, are YouTube sensations, huge Donald Trump aficionados, and a whole bucket of fun. And they're joining us right now. Good morning, Diamond. Good morning, Silk.
Well, good morning.
So we'd love to talk to you about everything about this campaign, but I really do want you to react to what's going on in North Carolina right now, specifically in Charlotte. First of all, here was Hillary Clinton yesterday talking about the officer-involved shootings.
There is still much we don't know about what happened in both incidents, but we do know that we have two more names to add to a list of African Americans killed by police officers in these encounters.
And by making that statement, it almost sounds like, sure, there's a whole lot we don't know, but the fact that these are African-Americans killed by police officers, well, that's all we need to know. What's your reaction?
Well, my reaction to that is Hillary Clinton is part of the problem. Her, the NAACP, the Black Congressional Caucus, the Congressional Black Caucus, whoever they are, those people are part of the problem because they sit on TV and they say little stuff like that, and they give these people permission to go out and destroy a city, to burn down their community, to pull people out of their cars and beat them up. They give them permission. I think it's sad. I think it's sad that even when the facts come out that this man may have pulled the gun out on the police, people want to see it their way. They just want something to wreak havoc on. I don't think that people are in the streets acting a fool because of a man getting shot and killed. This is because no opportunities. I was talking to somebody in the airport yesterday in Charlotte, and he said this is happening right around the block from where he stayed. So we asked him, well, why wasn't you out there? You know what he said? Because I had to go to work. Mm-hmm. See, if these people had jobs, these millenniums, if they had jobs, there's no way they would be out in the streets acting crazy like that. No way. So it's sad. It's disturbing. And we need someone like Donald Trump to come in and fix this.
That's right.
All right. So how do you fix it? That's the question.
Well, you fix it by bringing back opportunities. You fix it by don't take sides. Be in the middle. Okay, we know we have bad apples or in a police department, and we also know that citizens have to respect police. It works both ways.
That's
if
right.
we don't bring back respect, we gonna have, and don't bring in a leader, somebody like Donald Trump, we gonna have another 4 years of this same old mess. It's not gonna stop. When you listen to Hillary Clinton, she's only seeing one side of it.
That's right.
You cannot pull a gun out on an officer and think ain't nothing gonna happen to you. And people, we gonna have to wait, let all of the facts come out before we start overreacting.
And stop allowing the media to exploit the situation
to
make it into something. Because why is it that they only talk about a shooting whenever an officer shoots a black man? What about when an officer shoots a white man?
That's right.
Or what about when a black person shoots another black person?
Mm-hmm. That's how they're exploiting the whole situation, having it play out on TV. I'm so sick and tired of it. So if Obama wants to see his legacy, this is his legacy. The past 8 years,
we've been
seeing this foolishness play out on television. I am so tired of it. Everybody need to get out and vote for Donald J. Trump because this got to stop. Bring these people back some opportunities. You're not going to want to go uptown and start breaking out windows if you had nice things in your own community. All communities should be built back up, and people should have opportunities where they have to go to bed at night and get up and go to work the next morning.
Yeah.
That's right.
Diamond and Soka are our guests. And let me add, along those lines, Donald Trump last night made the case. He said, listen, for almost 100 years now in our inner cities, in these major cities, it's been one-party rules, just Democrats. And they take these votes for granted, and they're all talk every 4 years, but then they don't actually do anything. And that's why we're seeing the poverty. That's why we're seeing the lack of opportunity. That's why we're seeing all of these problems. And he says, yeah, you don't give me a chance, I want to change it. Can you explain to me or help maybe enlighten me? Why is it that the vote keeps going the same way? It's always Democrats. It seems like African-American voters always seem to vote that way, certainly in the last 50 years. I mean, they've got to know that it's not working, right?
Because they've been conditioned. Because you have all of the black talk show hosts on the radio, the NAACP, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, telling people this is how you should vote. Because they are so used to being handed the crumbs, and then when you get the crumbs and see somebody got the whole cake uptown, you want to go mess up their stuff.
That's
when
right.
If you vote different, you will get different.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? I am tired of these so-called black leaders. See, they live behind their picket fences. Mm-hmm. They don't have anything to worry about, but they tell people to vote just for the crumbs because they want somebody to be beneath them. And I'm tired of that.
That's
and I'm
right.
tired of seeing black people have to go through that.
They're being manipulated. They're being manipulated by the system. And the sad thing is that these same protesters that's out there protesting against the system will vote for the same Democrat Party that put this system in place.
That's right. Hillary Clinton ain't going to do nothing. She ain't going to do nothing. First of all, she's sick.
Yeah.
Don't nobody respect her. Mm-hmm. Even the Black Lives Matter movement don't respect her.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't going to do not one thing. She's not going to do anything. So voting for her, you will be voting against your own interests. It'll be best if you vote for Donald Trump. At least you know he's prosperous. He's successful. He's an entrepreneur. That's what we need. We need that kind of spirit back in our country.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of this foolishness. This is going to continue until somebody like Donald Trump get in office.
All right. I got another question for you. Speaking of Hillary Clinton, yesterday she was doing this video conference with the union leaders, and she asked what was a rhetorical question, but it's really a question I think Democrats are asking themselves. I'd like to know what you think about it. She says, you know, I'm running against this guy, Donald Trump, and I should be way ahead now. She asked the rhetorical question.
Why aren't I 50 points ahead, you might ask?
Yeah, I mean, I'm asking that question. I'm wondering what you guys think. Why isn't she 50 points? I mean, she's the smartest woman on the planet to hear Democrats tell it. She's the most qualified woman to ever run for office in the planet, according to Democrats. Why isn't she 50 points ahead in your estimation?
Because she is a liar, and people can see right through her lies.
That's right.
She is a liar. They know she panders. And one thing that we agree with President Obama about, he said it 8 years ago, she would say whatever she have to say to be elected. And the First Lady Michelle Obama, she said something that we agree with. If you can't run your own house, how you gonna run the White House? Mm. Those are the only things that I agree with the President and the First Lady about when it comes with Hillary Clinton.
And Hillary Clinton had her opportunity. She's been in public service for over what? In office for over 30 years. She's had the opportunity to help with the advancement of these different minorities, communities. She is from. She was born in Chicago, Illinois, and never reached back to her own city to help her own city. How can we expect her to help America?
Oh. And she ain't never created a job, and all of a sudden she got a plan. Yeah, she got a plan, all right.
Mm-hmm.
A plan to have us looking like a third world country. A plan to, Obama done already put us in the toilet. Now Hillary Clinton gonna flush it. Boom.
We cannot be out of time. Diamond and Soap, can you stick around for a few more minutes?
Yeah, we can stick around.
We cannot get enough of you here, and we want to hear more. Stay right there. Diamond and Soap are going to stay with us. We got a few more questions for them about the state of the campaign and the stretch run and the debate coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's the thing. I want to ask them if they would take a job in the administration, because here's the good thing about Diamond and Soap. If they did, they've already got their Secret Service code names.
Diamond and Soap.
That would be Diamond and Soap.
Of course, yeah.
I love that.
That would work, yeah.
So more of Diamond and Soap in a moment.
You're listening to the best of Mornings on the Mall. Now, more of the best of Mornings on the Mall.
Diamond and Soap continue with us. YouTube sensations, Trump aficionados. Find their stuff over at diamondandsilk.com. You guys were early adopters to Donald Trump. You jumped on the Trump train very early on, and he's featured you at his rallies. And when was the last time you were out at a rally with the Donald?
Oh, we were just with Donald Trump yesterday in Cleveland.
Oh,
he did a town hall with African Americans talking about the inner and urban.
So you were there with Don King?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yes,
so
we
now,
were there with Don.
Now what was your reaction? You know, the media, CNN, I mean, they did wall-to-wall coverage on Don King dropping an N-word. Now, what was your reaction when he did that, and what do you think Donald Trump should have said? Because, we don't like that word here. We don't want people
using it. Well, here's the deal. You can't help what people say. Mm-hmm. Don King is old school, okay? Mm-hmm. He's old school, and he know how it used to be, and he was just speaking knowledge, and that word just happened to slip out. He didn't mean for it to slip out, but it did. Mm-hmm. Keep the train to moving. I've heard people in front of Obama use the N-word and nobody said anything about it.
Hey, Obama used
it. Larry Wilmore did that.
Obama used the N-word himself.
Hey, so
for
now
crying
we even.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so listen, I keep hearing from people who are out there through the grapevine. You hear these stories that people who are doing outreach in the African-American community for the Hillary Clinton campaign are coming back and reporting that it's not going so well, that the African-American community is not enthused about voting for Hillary Clinton. And that's one of the reasons why, for example, the president went and talked to the Congressional Black Caucus. That's one of the reasons why he went to inner city Philadelphia recently and made a big speech. So what is your sense of it when you talk to people in the community?
They are tired of Democrats. They are tired of Hillary Clinton. And another thing, Obama, here it is. You are the first black president, and you ain't even do nothing for the black community, for the inner and urban cities. You're from Chicago. 3,000 people done got shot this year, and you just look the other way. Obama can take his legacy and go somewhere and sit down with it. Don't nobody care about his legacy. He care more about his legacy than people in poverty, than people being shot, than people having good jobs where they're gangfully employed instead of underemployed. Ain't nobody thinking about Obama, and we are not. He told us. He the one told us. It came out of his mouth that she would say anything to get a vote. So why would we vote for Hillary Clinton? Unless he's a liar.
Diamond and Silk, what is your advice for Donald Trump this Monday for the big debate? This is a big deal. Pressure is on. There's never been a stage like this that Donald Trump has been on. Hillary Clinton has experience. Do you think he should? A lot of people are saying Donald Trump's got to rein it in. He's got to be real disciplined. He's got to stick to the script and not do anything crazy. Other people say, let Donald be Donald. What do you think?
Let Donald be Donald.
That's right.
Let
he has to tell
Trump.
The truth.
I do not like stage. See, she's on 2 days off, 5 days to rehearse. I don't want him to rehearse. He don't have to be no well-rehearsed person like she's going to be. I want him to be himself because he is real.
Don't waver.
Don't back down. When she come at you, you hit her back on the facts.
That's right.
And talk about how she's incompetent. Anytime you don't understand C stands for classify, I reckon she must have thought it stood for Clinton Cash or something. We don't know.
What do you think it would be like for Bill Clinton to be back in the White House as the husband of the president?
It would be horrible.
What could go wrong there, right?
We need men working, not sitting on their behind in the house.
That's right.
Get a job, Bill. Hey, would you, if Donald Trump wins, would you take a position? Because when we met you in Cleveland and we had you on, and my gosh, the response we got from you when you were on for the Republican convention was phenomenal. That video went crazy. And I told you two things, if you remember. I said, number one, don't ever follow a career in radio.
Yeah, right. Please don't. Yeah.
And number two, if Donald wins, you got to come to Washington, D.C., get a job in the administration. Would you accept a job with the Trump administration?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I can't tell you. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. I have no plans. All I know, my only plan is to get my man Donald J. Trump elected. I want him to be the 45th president of the United States. Everybody need to get out and vote for him.
But if if you were going to consider, what kind of job would you want in the administration?
Telling the truth, telling it like it is, type of job.
Yeah. Yes,
you could be the truth czar.
Yeah, like
you could be the truth czar. I like that. Yeah.
Hey, right. You know, last Diamond and Silk, we're almost out of time. Last week we spoke to this Omarosa. She's in charge of the black turnout and the black. Mm-hmm. What do you think of her? She's a little scary, isn't she?
No, well, we love Omarosa. No, she's you know, she's on the coalition group. Yeah. When it comes to African Americans, she's out there helping the outreach. As a matter of fact, sometimes we travel with them.
Get along
for Trump Empowerment Tour.
Definitely.
We may travel because we're trying to reach people. Yeah. We're doing it like the Underground Railroad, trying to reach the masses of people and talk to them.
That's right.
You guys
so
are just
her.
Like Harriet Tubman. You know what? I need, this is what I need. This is my, you know, you always talk about the dream dinner party, the dream cocktail party. It's me, Diamond and Silk, Omarosa, Piers Morgan.
Oh, man.
I want to be at that dinner table.
All right.
Ladies, are you up for it?
I'm up for it, yes. Just invite us, let us know what time, and we'll be there.
Just make sure the food is good.
Yeah, the food will be good. Well, with Larry, you can always count on good chow.
All right.
Diamond and Silk.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us, Carl.
I love you guys.
It's a pleasure.
You're listening to the best of Mornings on the Mall, 5 to 9, Monday through Friday, only on 105.9 FM, WMAL. Listening to the best of Mornings on the Mall.
IRS Commissioner John Koskinen finally showed up to give testimony before Republicans yesterday, and he was trying to stave off calls for his impeachment. Well, did he do the job? Did he get it done? Did he quell any concerns about his role there with regard to the cover-up after the Lois Lerner fiasco? Well, listen to this exchange with Jim Jordan, and maybe you'll get the picture.
These backup tapes that have survived for 2 years suddenly get destroyed. And we're supposed to believe that just happened by chance?
The Inspector General spent a year looking into exactly that subject and came up with the conclusion after interviewing over 50 witnesses that was totally a mistake by two employees on the midnight shift in Martinsburg.
Midnight shift guys in Martinsburg excuse.
Well,
okay.
That's
okay. Okay. Well, let me read one other statement to you again from the Articles of Impeachment. This is on page 3, Article 2. On June 20th, 2014, Commissioner Koskinen testified, quote, since the start of this investigation, every email has been preserved, nothing has been lost, nothing has been destroyed. Is that statement true, Mr. Koskinen?
At the time, that was what I had been informed, what I believed. A year later, or
It could not have been true at the time because the date is June 20th, 2014.
That's
and
correct.
And you just told me on March 4th, the first question I ask you, on March 4th, 3 months before that, March 4th, 2014, that the IRS had destroyed 422 backup tapes.
That's correct.
So how is this statement true that you made under oath to a congressional committee?
joining us right now is Representative Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, also chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. Thanks for joining us, Congressman.
You bet. Good to be with you.
Yeah, so let me just ask you straightforward. Under Mr. Koskinen's leadership, did the IRS destroy evidence that Congress had subpoenaed, and then did he lie about it?
Yes, he destroyed the evidence, 422 backup tapes, as you point out, under subpoena, actually under two subpoenas, and three orders to preserve. So they did that. And what's interesting about the timeline is they destroyed the tapes just 1 month after they learned the primary source had problems. In other words, February 2nd, Kate Duvall, counselor to the commissioner, brought in to help with this investigation to provide documents. She's brought in. She learns that Lerner's hard drive had crashed and emails are missing. So the primary source has got problems. And 1 month later, the secondary source, the backup tapes, are destroyed. And Mr. Costin says that's just a chance, just coincidence, and really just a bureaucratic snafu in the midnight shift in Martinsburg. That's hard to believe when this was such a high-profile case and everyone in the country knew what the IRS had done and that there was an investigation going forward. And then he comes to Congress and says, I didn't know, so at the time I wasn't lying to you when I said that nothing has been lost, nothing has been destroyed. But obviously that was a false statement.
Well, it was hard drives were destroyed, and then they told us, well, the tapes don't exist. We don't have them.
Yeah.
And then the IG, the inspector general, found them in about 10 minutes, but by the time he got around to looking, a great number of them had been destroyed by these two people who worked in Martinsburg, Virginia on the midnight shift. I'm curious, what happened to those two people?
Nothing, yeah. He wouldn't give us the names, but we've talked to the supervisors of those folks in the deposition that the oversight committee had done a while back. But he wouldn't tell us their names, but no discipline's been handed out. The only people who've ever been, quote, disciplined are the ones who were initially there when the targeting started and it was first reported by the inspector general. People like Doug Shulman had to leave as commissioner. Lois Lerner has left the IRS, although she's still getting her pension. So this is the biggest problem. The Americans now, there's this double standard. There's one standard for you and me and us regular folks, and there's a different one for the politically connected. If your name is Lerner or Koskinen or Clinton, you get away with things no one else gets away with, and that's not supposed to be how it works in this country. It's supposed to be equal treatment under the law. Here's the other big takeaway in my mind, that even today, the IRS is still targeting conservative groups. Not my words, not Donald Trump's words, not the Freedom Caucus words. This is straight from the District Court of Appeal.
All right, so time is running out, but very quickly. So what happens next? Do you actually go forward with the articles of impeachment?
What I hope is we get a vote in the committee. I think we could win a vote in the committee. And if we can prevail in the committee, then I think it gives us a great chance on the House floor to actually impeach Mr. Costin. So the goal is let's get the vote called up in committee. I think there are the votes there to actually move to impeach Mr. Koskinen, and then we can take it to the House floor and keep the process moving.
All right, Representative Jim Jordan, thank you so much.
You bet. Take care, guys.
You've been listening to the best of Mornings on the Mall. Listen Monday through Friday, 5 to 9 a.m. to hear the show live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.